Today's scripture comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 11, verse 27, through chapter 12, verse 9. Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah fathered Abram, Nahor, and Haran fathered Lot. Haran died in the presence of his father Terah in the land of his kindred in Ur of the Chaldeans, and Abram and Nahor took wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarah, and the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and Iscah. Now Sarah was barren, she had no child. Terah took Abram his son and Lot the son of Haran his grandson, and Sarah his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth together from Ur of the Chaldeans to go into the land of Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. The days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and will dishonor those, and who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going towards the Negev. This is God's word.
Morning. It's good to see all of you this morning. Again, if you're visiting us today, welcome. If you're coming back second, third time, welcome back. We're glad you're here. Hopefully we'll have a good season ministry together with you. Again, if you're new, just a few things that are coming up. Welcoming lunch today. And actually, after the service today, we'll be doing something slightly different. We'll be launching our small groups. So we'll be introducing small group leaders and hosts and kind of kick off our small group ministry for the season. So after the service is over, if you could kind of bear with us for about 15 minutes, we should be done. And for that reason, I'm going to kind of move kind of along with my sermon this morning. We're going to be looking at the life of Abraham this fall. And those of you who kind of are familiar with the story of Abraham in the New Testament is called the man of faith. And it's because in many ways, Abraham receives a tremendous promise from God. But here's something that we realize from the New Testament perspective is the writer of Hebrews says that Abraham died in faith, never having received the things that were promised to him, right? So Abraham receives this tremendous promise from God, but he lives really his whole life without having received or experienced those promises. He lives in this gap between the promises of God and the realities of his life. Now I think that's pretty important because we're called to be people of faith. And I think in many ways, we also live in this gap, don't we? We have the promises of God in scriptures, the things that we desire, the things that we long for. But oftentimes, we see ourselves living in this life in sort of a gap. We haven't fully experienced the promises of God. And so for some of us, that's pretty disappointing. The life that we're hoping for and the life that we're living in do not often match up. They don't line up. We have the promises of God in Scripture, and we have our current realities that we see, and they don't match up. And so it causes great disappointment. But Abraham is someone that lived his whole life in this gap between this great promise from God and his life that he lived on earth. And thus, the Bible says he was man of faith. Even though he didn't fully get it, fully didn't receive it, he was still able to live in faith. So throughout this fall, we're going to talk about him. And let me just tell you, Abraham was man of faith, but he also was man of failure. I mean, he failed multiple times. But it's in the midst of his failures and his faith that God works and really enables him to become a great person. Okay, so hopefully that kind of gets your mind going, and hopefully we'll kind of talk about that throughout this fall. Well, his story starts in Genesis chapter 11 and 12. And it starts with a call from God. And most of you know this, right? Genesis chapter 12, God comes and he tells Abraham, I'm going to bless you so that you'll be blessings to the nations, right? I mean, it comes from a call comes from God to Abraham's life. Now, before chapter 12 and chapter 11, he really was no one. If you kind of paid attention to the scripture reading, Abraham was just one of the names that's listed in the genealogy of Terah. Right? And he really is no one until God comes and calls his life, calls him to follow. That's crucial because in some sense, the call of God makes Abraham someone who is great, someone who is significant. All of human history looks at Abraham as the man of faith, the father of our faith, not only in Christianity, but actually in Judaism and in Islam. They look to Abraham to say, there he is, someone great. He's our father. He's our father of faith. I think that's something significant because it's really the call of God upon Abraham's life that caused his life to be significant and great. Now, I think places like D.C., we have people who come to study and work and, to be successful. We want our life to count. We enter certain universities or certain programs or apply for certain jobs, hoping that our life will mean something. But you know what this passage is telling us? You know what Abraham is telling us? Especially in chapter 11 and chapter 12, it's telling us the way you get a sense of greatness is to have the call from God. In chapter 11, in some sense, it's about greatness. Because in the beginning of chapter, we didn't read it, but it's the chapter, the passage about Tower of Babel. And if you guys know what's the passage about? It's about people gathering together to make a name for themselves, right? What happens? Well, God frustrates their plan. He scatters them. And then we have the genealogy, and then comes Abraham's story. And how does Abraham's story go? Verse 2, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. So there is this contrast. People, the Tower of Babel, wanting to make a name for themselves, but their plans are frustrated. They're scattered. Here's Abraham, really seemingly like no one, just regular person, but God calls him and he says, I will make you into someone great. There it is. If we're looking for greatness, significance, it comes from the call of God. The call of God gives your life significance. The call of God gives your life meaning and purpose. It's like, you know, two people can be working for the same company doing the exact same thing. But one person does it with energy, joy, hope. Why is that? That person senses the call from God. Abraham, in some sense, from an outsider's perspective, he was like much like anyone else that were traveling in this region. But his travel meant much more because his heart was burning with a call from God. So the question then is, okay, what is this call about? So I have three things that I want to share with you. And these things will go pretty quickly, okay? So you got to pay attention this morning. All right. Number one, the call from God is call to life. Most of us, when we read the Abraham story, we start from chapter 12, but it starts from chapter 11 because chapter 11 gives us the context. And let me just point you to verse 30 of chapter 11. It says, Now Sarai was barren. She had no child. Now, that's significant for many reasons. Let me give you two things. It's significant because what chapter 11 is about is it's the genealogy of Shem. It's that one family was a family of faith. They're the family that cried out to God. But what we read towards the end of chapter 11 is that this family line was about to end. Not only physically, but spiritually, Joshua chapter 24 tells us that Terah, father of Abraham, began to worship other idols. So what we have in end of chapter 11 is really the end of humanity, their desire for God. By end of chapter 11, the hope that humanity had of knowing God had stopped. Because the family that knew God and worshiped God turned to other gods, and Sarai was barren. It's a sense of hopelessness that comes in end of chapter 11. It's a sense of spiritual darkness that comes in end of chapter 11. And it's out of that context God calls Abraham to life, to a relationship with Him. The first thing about the call of God is this. When God calls us, when God calls you, He's calling you to a relationship with Him, meaning He's calling you to give you life. Number one, call of God is call to life. And that's essential. Unless you have the call from God, what we're doing is we will, for all of our life, live for something else. We will be in spiritual darkness, but not really have a relationship with God. Friends, this morning, do you have the call from God to have a relationship with Him and to follow Him? I mean, that's essential, that's crucial, because unless you have that, you will be in the spiritual fog and spiritual darkness all of your life. You know, Abraham's call, God's call to Abraham comes, in the beginning, it seems like Abraham is traveling with his family, his father, Terah, his brother, Haran, his nephew, Lot. So the call kind of comes to a family, it seems like, or they're at least traveling down as a family, but the call comes to Abraham personally. You know what that means is when God calls you, He calls you individually and personally. What that means is church and community and small groups, is that important? Absolutely. I think important for us growth, for our spiritual encouragement, yes, but we cannot receive the call from God as a group. Meaning it's not enough for you to be around Christians and doing Christian things. We have to hear from God personally. God has to call you individually, personally. I mean, some of the parents know this pretty well because you're raising your kids, and at some point, what are you hoping for? You're hoping that God will call your child to a relationship with Him personally, right? All those of you who grew up in Christian homes, what happened? Well, in the beginning, when you're younger, your faith was tied with your mom and your dad and your siblings, or maybe even your youth group. But my guess is at some point, maybe when you went off to college or maybe you're wrestling with certain things in your life, at some point you heard God calling you personally. It's not enough for us to be around Christians. It's not enough for us to be doing Christian things and maybe come attend church like this once in a while. Because what we read here is God calls Abraham out of his family even. And that means God's call upon your life comes to you individually. Do you have that? But friends, before we move on, I'll move on to my second and third point. That's essential. That's key. Because it's called to life. It's called to a relationship with living God. And we all need that. That's what we need. We need a call from God because it's a call to life. Okay? Number two, second thing. The call of God is call to surrender. Look at verse 1 and 2 with me one more time. And God says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to land that I will show you." Actually, we'll pause there. He says, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to a land that I will show you. God is commanding two things, I think. He says, go from from all that you've known, right, from your family, from the land that you're living in, God's saying, go from, and then he says, go to, where? Go to a place that I will show you. What God's calling Abram to do is leave or go from the things that you know, things that you've known all of your life, your family, and go to a place that I will show you. I'm not going to tell you exactly where it is, but I will let you know soon or let you know later. What is that? Well, it's actually a call to trust, call to faith, call to surrender. It's God's asking Abraham to let go of the things that gave him security or significance, family and land, and then go to a place that God's going to show him later. Now, some of us, we don't like that, right? I mean, I don't know. I don't like that too much. Go. But I'm not going to exactly tell you where and how. And the thing is, Abraham's life, his whole life is about that. God says later, he says, I'm going to give you a son. Abraham says, when? How? I'm advanced in age. How, Lord? God says, wait, I'll tell you later. And then at the end of his life, God says, go up to a mountain and there slay your son. Abraham says, why? God says, I'll tell you later. Just climb. Abraham's life was really a life to surrender. And as I shared before, he really never actually saw the promises of God. He died in faith. The book of Hebrews says he saw the promises from a distance. He didn't get to experience the things that God had told him. It's a call to surrender. Friends, can I ask you this morning? You know, call from God is call to life. Secondly, call from God is call to surrender or call to trust in Him. Have you this morning heard that call and have surrendered your life to Him? A Christian author named Oz Guinness, he says this. He said, we have too much to live with and too little to live for. We have too much to live with. Why? Because we haven't detached ourselves from stuff. And because we haven't done that, very few of us are really living for anything. We have too much to live with and too little to live for. And if you think about that, that goes against the call that Abraham heard from God. Go, leave, and go to a place where I will show you. Now, some of you are asking, okay, I wish I could do that, but how do you actually gain a sense of call? I mean, how do you know what God's asking you to surrender? Or how do you know what God's calling you to do? Let me point you to verse 4. Verse 4 says this. It's a really simple verse, but it says, so Abraham went as the Lord had told him. Okay, here's how you know. I know some of you are, okay, I want to know God's calling up on Mali. I want to know God's will. Does he want me to be here or there? Or what's God's call up on my life? You're kind of struggling or wrestling with that. You know how you know? Is you know when you begin to obey. Meaning, see, all of us, we already know few things that God's called us to do already. Way your calling becomes concrete is when we begin to trust and obey. I know that sounds kind of odd, but the way your calling from God becomes more personal, deep, concrete, tangible, and more specific is when you begin to obey the things that He's called you to already. That's what Romans chapter 12 says, right? Romans chapter 12 says, therefore, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. This is your spiritual act of worship, right? So Paul is saying, give it all to God. And then verse 2 says, the second half of verse 2, then he says, then you'll be able to prove what the Lord's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. What the Bible is saying is, offer your life to God, then you will know these things that God has planned for you. So this morning, my guess is all of us, most of us here, already have things that God's called you to do. Maybe God's called you to give. Maybe God's called you to pray. God's called you to be part of a small group. God's called you to encourage. God's called you to read His Word. there are many things that God's called you to do already, and the way you actualize, realize, and live out God's calling for you is begin to take those little steps. And what is that? It's really life of faith and trust. It's kind of like this. You know, I have kids, and if I call them, I'm just going to pick a name, Abigail. If I call her, and I ask her simply, come, Abigail, come here. And let's say she hears me, but she never comes. Right? And that happens often. What happens? Well, she's actually never going to hear what I called her for. I might have said, Abigail, come. I have ice cream for you. She will never actually realize that until she gets there, until she says she hears my voice and actually obeys. I think a lot of us live our Christian life theoretically. Oh, God has a plan for me. And it's a wonderful, great plan. But we live over here actually never connecting the dots and saying, okay, God, what I read in scripture is you want me to do blank. So you know what? Today I'm going to do that. And you actually take a step of faith. And as you take steps of faith, what you're doing is you're trusting and obeying God. And as you do that, God will give you more and more and more. And this is exactly what happens. Look at verse 6 and 7 with me. Abram passed, so he actually obeys. And then Abram passes through the land to a place called Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At the time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring, I will give this land. Right? In the beginning, God says, leave your family and go to a place that I will show you. Abram, the verse 4 says, he went. And as he's going, God appears to him again and says, this is the place. This is the place that I'm going to show you. So friends, can I ask you this morning, are there things that the Spirit of God is stirring in your heart for you to take that step of faith? Maybe it's sharing your faith with someone. Maybe it's been just kind of brewing in your heart for a while. Maybe that's the calling that you need to obey. My guess is all of us have few things that God's been placing before you. And you know that's there. My encouragement to you this morning is trust and obey and see what happens. I guarantee as you do that, God's will for you, God's call for you will become much more concrete. It will become much more clear. That's how we do it. And the second thing is, you know, some of us, we feel like, I want to know God, the call of God. And you look at your Christian life and you go, man, I wish there was something more that I could live for. And I wish my Christian life was more vibrant and there's something that I could give my life to. You know, it's really two things, right? I mean, God says to Abraham, leave and go. And as the Christian author says, I think perhaps we have too much that we're living with and too little that we're living for. And I think they go hand in hand. As we trust and as we surrender, the call of God becomes more clear in our life. And our life will have purpose and significance. As I said before, Abraham didn't have much in terms of, he didn't receive much from God in terms of the promises. But he did have purpose and meaning and significance. And from eternal perspective, his life was a great life. How did that come about? Because he took those steps of faith, took steps of obedience. And so second thing about the call of God is call of God is about trusting and about surrendering. Okay, lastly, it's a call to be a blessing, right? God says, verse 2, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I'll pause there. God says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make a great nation out of you. I'm going to make your name great, so that you will be a blessing to others. What that means is, God calls us into a relationship with himself, into life, into a life of faith and trusting in Him, and then it's also a call to then to be a blessing to others. And what that means then for Christians is this. Our main question in life is not, where can I work so that I can make most income? Or where can I live so that I can be most comfortable and be most convenient? I mean, those questions are important and they're not wrong questions. But there's another question. Perhaps a more important question is, where can I be so that I can be a most blessing to others? See, the questions are not just, where can I be so that I can be most comfortable, but where can I be so that I can be the most blessing to others? And that's the question for the Christian. I mean, why is that? Well, because here it says that we have been blessed. So the question is, some of you, you know, today's sermon is going to be short. Some of you are asking, okay, I want to live that kind of life. I want to live a life that's great. I want to live a life that has meaning and significance and purpose. I want to give it up for God. And in theory, that sounds great, but how do I actually do it? The main thing that we need to get is the promise that Abraham got, right? Abraham, God said to Abraham, I'm going to bless you greatly. Right? I mean, this promise is amazing. I'm going to make a great nation out of you, and I'm going to give you a great name. I'm going to make your name great. And then God says, so that you can be a blessing to others. Friends, the way that we can surrender it all, the way that we can live a life that is significant, life with purpose, a great life, is when we begin to realize how much God has already blessed you. Now, how do we know that? Well, we know that not only by looking at Abraham as an example, but we talked about this, but looking at Abraham and who he points to. Who does Abraham ultimately point to? He points to the greater Abraham. He points to Christ. Because when we look at Jesus, he also had a call from God. He also left the comfort of his home. He also left the love of his father. He left it all. Why? He left all those things to bless you. Ephesians said that we have been tremendously blessed. How are we blessed? We are blessed because Jesus was forsaken. When we know that, when we know how much we have been blessed, how much we have been promised, how much God has displayed His love for you in Christ, then we can begin to live out of that security. We could go forth and surrender. We can go and be a blessing because we already have been blessed. Now, how do we live a life like Abraham? We have to first recognize how much we've been blessed. We need to see Jesus. And recognize that He left it all for you, so that now He calls you to go out and be a blessing to those around you. All right, I'm done this morning. So let's pray, and we'll close our time. Now I want to bring us to the table. We'll have communion, and then we'll go into our kind of small group kickoff. But can we take a minute? I want to ask us to kind of bow our heads and take a minute to pray before we have our time of communion. Give us a minute to just really quickly pray. You know, my guess is some of us feel like you are disappointed in life. You feel a sense of gap between what God has promised you or what you're looking for and the reality that you see in life. Friends, that was Abraham. But we have to know and realize that instead of looking at the circumstances in life and instead of being overwhelmed by the gap that we sense and we feel, know that you have been called. For those of you who are Christians, know that you have been called by God, the one who knows you intimately. You know, the Bible says that He knew you before you were formed. And the Bible also says that He has a plan. The Bible also says that we are His workmanship, that we are His work of art, to do good works that He has prepared for us beforehand. It's really the call of God, call of the living God, the call of God who loves you, who created you. That call which gives you a sense of significance and greatness and nothing else. So this morning, I'm going to give us a minute before I invite you to the table to trust that call. Or better way to put it is, trust in the one who has called you. If you know that He's called you, that also means that He is working in your life, and that one day He will fulfill all the promises that you have in Christ in Scripture. It will come. We're not sure when, but it will come. And we could live this life in faith because we trust in the one who's given us this promise. So let me give us a minute to go to Him and trust in His promises, surrender to Him this morning. Shall we do that? And then I'll say a prayer, and then I'll invite us to time of communion. Father, we come before You this morning, and like Abraham, we find ourselves in this gap between what we long for and what we see and feel today, now. Lord, I pray that You would remind us of this call to life this morning, that You have invited us to be with You. And Lord, we confess that we are not sure of how the journey will be like, but we do know that the one who called us will complete the work in us because You're faithful. So as we come to the table, Lord, remind us of Your great love for us. Remind us that You also lost Your Son for us. Remind us that Jesus left, surrendered everything for us. Give us a sense of peace and joy and hope this morning. We thank You for the gospel. Thank You for Christ. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.